Hello, and welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney. Before this week's episode, a few friendly reminders. New episodes drop every Thursday afternoon.
Opinions and views expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the Arts Asylum, Mutual Musicians Foundation, or KOJH 104.7.
If you have any questions, concerns, or suggestions, please contact us via email at couchchats@gmail.com or find us on Facebook or Instagram at couchchats. And don't forget, that's couch with a K. Please also remember to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Bye.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney.
Hello.
I'm Corey.
I'm Courtney.
And today on the couch we have Corey.
And Courtney. And you're so happy that Corey's back because you got those hellos, right?
Right. but I hear last week was a lot of fun.
It was fun. It was ridiculous. It was, yeah, ridiculous. And I did not, I like legit started this, the episode by just being like, hello. I got all the instructions on what filter to use on the picture and that I needed to record. But beyond that, I messed the whole flow up. So hopefully you still enjoyed it, but it was...
Well, what was the title of it? Like Ancient Vaginas or something?
It was Three Geriatric Vaginas.
Wow.
Because we were talking about how Vanessa's having a geriatric pregnancy, and I also had a geriatric pregnancy, and Katie is just geriatric. We love her.
Right. I love Katie.
We love you.
I think she... Did she talk about last week that she had a show that opened up with Nick Pageant?
She did not.
Yeah, she had... I was seeing some photos today about...
Yeah, the Who's Christmas
or
something of that nature. Yeah, she was directing a show. You know, Katie doesn't get directing cred very often, and she should, because she's amazing.
I really think she's been trying to, like, work on...
On
that aspect of that. Mm-hmm. So I'm always really glad whenever I get to see her, like, work sort of pop up.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, we talked about that. We talked about Vanessa's on the Christmas train.
Yeah, which you're going to go see this week.
I am, yes, on Saturday.
Saturday.
We're going to take the kids. We got... somehow the kids convinced me to get family PJs for Christmas.
Damn child's convinced me to do that, too.
I know. Well, you know, it's funny. Maybe we have the same ones because they're Disney, of course.
Mm, ours are from Old Navy on sale.
Okay, fair. Well...
have you been to the new Old Navy on the
Plaza? I haven't yet.
I haven't been down there yet. We'll talk about that in a second.
One of the moms was asking if it was open, and I was like, I think it's open.
It is.
I cannot believe I haven't gone there yet. Because I always need something from Old Navy.
I'm just trying not to really go anywhere until the holidays are over.
Right? Isn't that terrible? Well, see, like, none of the adults...
Especially the Plaza.
Right. Oh, yeah, for sure. None of the adults in our house family situation are doing gifts. So, like, the only gift I'll get is from you.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
And it's a good gift.
There's
a meme right now of, like, this kid with a huge face, like, getting ready to burst, and it's, like, trying not to tell your friend what Christmas gift you got them.
Right. We're not doing anything. So the other day, I bought myself something, because I was like, well, I could wrap this and put it under the tree if I really wanted to. Because this is the first year that I won't, like, unwrap anything, which I so don't care about at all. Because it's just about the kids.
It is.
For me. You know, they're the ones that are excited. They're the ones that are...
I just can't believe Christmas is in, like, 4 days.
I know, and it's, like, 55 degrees, so it doesn't feel like it at all.
And I have been surrounded by the holiday spirit, so at this point I'm like, I can't believe Christmas also hasn't happened.
Because you've been in Disney.
Like, Matt and I were just talking last night about how, like, Thanksgiving happened, and then Matt and I went to Winterfest, like, still in November. We went ice skating, we did all of these holiday things, plus I did Christmas at the Res.
Right, well, it feels like Thanksgiving was at least 3 months ago.
Right.
It does not...
Well, we had a blizzard, and now it's 55 degrees.
Right. Was the blizzard before Thanksgiving or after Thanksgiving?
Right after, because I had, like, 8 days off.
Oh, right, because that's when we went, like, on the third day of no school, we went ice skating.
Yeah.
Because it was subarctic temperatures, and we thought ice skating is the answer.
Well,
because it was so beautiful on Thanksgiving, or at least on the Friday. I don't remember what Thanksgiving itself was like.
It started to snow on that Sunday night, because I canceled rehearsal for Church of the Res, and then it took Matt, like, 2 hours to get home out of nowhere. And then we didn't have work, like, that Monday or maybe that Tuesday.
Well, we didn't have school that whole week.
Yeah.
So, like, they were out for break, and then we didn't have them for 3 days. Because it was Thanksgiving break that it was attached onto. Yeah. So I had my kids home for, like, 8 days. And I was just like, hey, guys, we got to get out of here. Yeah. Right? We got to get out of here. Something's going to have to happen.
But so anyway, I have felt like very much in the holiday spirit, and then I literally just got back from Walt Disney World.
Yeah, tell me about, I am very excited, we're starting to plan our next year trip to Disney, but, so I'm like insanely excited for Halloween Disney, but what is Christmas Disney like? Like just magic, I mean it's not like it's not magical anyway, but.
Alright, so Walt Disney World is magical.
Right.
Hashtag like. Magical.
Right.
All the time. And then they throw in this idea of, like, Christmas. And it is, like, they make it snow on Main Street, USA. They, like, Elsa, like, you know, freezes the castle. Things, yeah. And it's these simple things that you don't realize, like, how like, Christmas and Disney fit really well together.
Sure.
Because everyone's so damn jolly and everyone's so happy. And seriously, watching, like, Mickey Mouse, like, and Minnie Mouse on a sleigh being pulled by Pluto, like, like,
sure.
And Pluto has like a big bright red nose on it. Yeah. Like you're just, you can't not want to do it. And then all of like the confectionery stuff, like the treats, like everything just kind of makes more sense. You know, it's just like holiday treats everywhere, but they're the decoration. I don't know if you've ever like YouTubed.
Yeah.
Cause Disney does those amazing transformations where they transform it into Halloween, and then Halloween is over with, and they literally change it from Halloween to Christmas, like, overnight.
Do they do anything for Thanksgiving? Is there, like, a thing for... because you've been there at almost every holiday, or...
I've been there at almost every holiday.
Yeah.
Next year, though, I might see some Disney property 3 times in 1 year on accident.
It's true.
Right. Because we'll go in August to Disneyland, which is going
to
be really exciting.
And you've never been to Disneyland, right?
That is, like, correct. So
and that's the first one, yes?
That's it, yeah.
That's the one that was like, here, daughter, here's your playground. Okay.
Yes, because Walt Disney went to Fairyland here in Kansas. Fairyland. I believe that's where he was, and he realized that... Sorry for all of you fives and tens out there who don't care.
Non-Disney listeners.
But he was sitting there, and his kid was on a merry-go-round, and all, as many of the kids were on a merry-go-round, and what Walt Disney saw is all of the parents were sitting on the exterior. And so then these kids were like having these really fun, amazing, dorky times, and none of the parents were getting to have that experience with them. And so then the question was, why aren't parents riding the merry-go-round? They can.
Right.
Like, there was no, like, height requirement or whatever. Right. And so Walt Disney then said, well, I need to create a place where it is okay to be just the same sort of dorky level.
Right.
As the kids
are. A kid all the time, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so Walt Disney World literally, I mean, the most easiest ride also somehow still appeals to the adult. And that is the magic of those Imagineers that they have is they always take into account both of the people who are coming to the park at all
sure.
the time.
Well, they do that with the movies too. I mean, there's so much like tongue-in-cheek that you don't realize when you're a kid watching until you watch it as an adult. Like the things that I like, you know, I remember thinking watching The Lion King as a kid took me a long time before I like filled in the blank of the Pumbaa moment of like shh, not in front of the kids thing.
Yeah.
Like I thought for sure there was some like horrible word that rhymed
farting,
with it.
Right?
It was just fart.
Right.
And, you're like, and like you know, like you're just like, oh, but that's for the parents. Like those, you know what I mean? I don't think my kids get that. Like I don't think that they know that that's even a thing. And so many, especially like the Pixars, those are like super appeal
Pixar.
to the adults too, you know.
Disney is, I don't know if you all know this out there, they're also like they want everyone to have the same experience, but they're also very American and capitalistic to where they're like, but if you can afford it, we want to give you an extra
really
experience.
Good experience.
And so what they do it for Halloween, and they also definitely do it for Christmas, but Halloween's is just kind of like a short time, and Christmas is all the time where they do Mickey's Merry Christmas party or whatever. And that is at like, I think it's 5 p.m. The Magic Kingdom shuts down for the right. general public, and you buy this extra ticket to this mm-hmm. Mickey's like Christmas party, and that is like where they are just giving away like all sorts of just crap
right.
that you can't, you just can't
yeah,
like
can't
fathom
yeah.
it, and then you get merchandise that you can't buy anywhere else, and like they're really like strict about like if they see you selling it online, like you can get mm-hmm. in trouble about it because they want to make these exclusive experiences
right.
For these people.
Yeah.
And so they're, like, it's just so crazy. Walt Disney World is just so
I mean, I could not
fantastic.
Be more excited about it. Like, and now, because now that we're, like, in the thick of planning.
And then we took a Disney cruise, ladies
right.
and gentlemen,
mm-hmm.
which a year ago, Matt and I and my parents saw Disney World for Christmas the first time, like,
right.
2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And this year we saw the Disney cruise,
mm-hmm.
and that is, like, even more extraordinary
mm-hmm.
because everyone is just so joyful, and they do special, like, holiday shows. And for all those parents out there that are, you know, thinking about how do I, like, go to the parks and, like, spend the amount of time on waiting in line for all of, like, the characters or whatever, the
right.
Disney cruise, you have to think, is, let's call it 2,000 people
mm-hmm.
are on that boat.
Mm-hmm.
And then the characters are just walking around with you all day long.
Right.
Like,
because you got to, like, sit in a hallway and just read with Belle, right? The
I
first time.
Sat in a hallway on a staircase
right.
at 11 o'clock while
mm-hmm.
Belle was just reading.
Right. Yeah, that's great. That's fantastic.
Or Mrs. Potts was reading Nightmare, or not Nightmare Before Christmas. 'Twas the Night Before Christmas,
mm-hmm.
like, literally underneath a Christmas tree. And there was just, you could just walk by and just
now that's
listen to that.
An interesting thing. Does Disney consider Nightmare Before Christmas a Halloween movie or a Christmas movie?
They consider it a Thanksgiving movie.
A Thanksgiving movie?
Because you watch it after Thanksgiving, before, you know, it's the movie that you're supposed to watch at Thanksgiving, because Halloween has sort of passed, and we are getting ready for Christmas, because
that's lame.
Nightmare Before Christmas is weird, because it fits in so many categories.
It does, it does.
I feel like you need to just watch Nightmare Before Christmas in March, just to really, like, get
my
rid
kids
of all
are
of the
pretty obsessed with it, so yeah, so that's, I mean, we watch it all the time.
But anyway, Disney always knows how to make everyone feel as if they're having a special experience,
mm-hmm.
but around the holidays, they really do
yeah.
pep it up.
yeah, yeah, well, yeah, and yeah.
A lot.
At Halloween, plus, like, I think that at Halloween, you can, well, I all the time, you can do the, like, by the after dark.
They have special nights, yeah.
And, but at Halloween, that's when the villains come out, right?
I believe so,
I believe
yes.
so, too.
Yes.
So, like, I'm gonna buy all of those. Like, all, like, there's gonna, because, like, you don't really get to see the villains.
The villains are usually just in shows. They usually don't have them hanging out.
Right, which is too bad. Because, like, who does not want to get their picture taken with Ursula?
Right.
I mean, even
DeVille is so evil.
She
like,
is so evil.
She made me get on my hands and knees once and bark like a puppy. It was so... and you're kind of like, what are you asking me to do? And she didn't care. Like,
right. That
Captain
has
Hook
to be...
is pretty fun.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you just can't... You can't, like, go find them wandering around. Because that...
Mm-hmm.
I don't... But they come out at night.
They do.
Because the theory is that then there's not too many kids that are out.
Uh-huh.
Well, my kids are going to be
Mickey's
out.
Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, I think, is when, like, they kind of come out, you
okay,
know?
Because we got, I mean, we have to do that. Like, I don't know how.
We have to do that.
Because the villains are the best part, let's be real.
Well, even villains have dreams.
And you would think that after all this time that there would be a villain land. Like an Isle of the Lost scenario.
Mm-hmm.
They take a page from their own book, a la Descendants, for those of you that have kids and have to watch those movies, the Disney Channel movies,
mm-hmm.
Like I do, although I actually kind of really like Descendants, but, you know, it's fine, that there would be a land for the villains that, like, you could then choose to go to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That, like, and then if your kid was really afraid of Scar or whatever, like, I get you, kid. He is super scary.
He is.
But also... Mm-hmm. I need to watch him sing Be Prepared.
Yeah. They got rid of the scary Snow White ride because so many kids thought that it was so scary.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, as a parent, we can leave a Disney sort of chat for a second. Like, how do you feel about scaring children? Like, and I know you are a particular person, but, like, I feel like there are so many parents out there that are like, oh my gosh, that's too scary for my kid. And I get it, because you don't want your kid maybe to have, like, nightmares. I don't know, but I'm not really sure. Like, I feel like sometimes those youth fears transpire into, like, adult fears. Like, if you continuously tell your kid that...
they don't have to be exposed to this thing that exists in life.
And yet my parents were not the best parents in that way. And I was getting scared at a very young age because they were like, well, it's always there. Like, my parents didn't really ever deny that there was a boogeyman. He was just like, you just need to know what to do if there's a boogeyman.
Right. Yeah. My kids are very rarely scared of things because Violet, I think, has more fears than Iz does, in weird ways. Like, Isabel's terrified of bugs because, like, we don't camp or anything like that.
Right.
Nothing of that nature that may, you know, she's scared of, but, and Violet's not scared of that kind of stuff, but, like, gory movie things and stuff like that. I mean, they, you know, they're pretty young and have watched what I think most parents would consider, you know, inappropriate. I'm using big air quotes, inappropriate movies for their age range.
I just don't know why parents don't talk to their kids about it. Like, it's okay, like, to be like, why did that scare you?
Right. I think the other big difference in my kids versus a lot of other kids is that because of what we do, they are much more aware of theater magic, and that when you see somebody in a movie that's covered in blood, they know what that is because we have done shows where people have had to be covered in blood. You know, I mean, it's Isabel learned at a very young age how to sleep through chainsaws and shotguns and all of the blood spatters of, you know, Evil Dead. I mean, I have that picture of her at probably maybe 6 months old, where she's sucking on the foam bloody axe and just, you know, drooling.
Well, I have a picture of her in a guitar case from
Hedwig. Right, exactly. Like, so my kids have a much different... They then know that kind of that movie magic thing is what mommy and daddy do. Mm-hmm. And so it's a lot easier to then not have to suspend that, you know, disbelief kind of thing of like...
Yeah.
And I'm always remarkably... I've never been the type of parent who changed my life for my kids to fit into it. They need to fit into my life. And some of that was out of necessity because Alex and I were both still very actively working in producing theater when we had Iz. And so she just went with us everywhere and she had to learn that. She had to learn to go with the flow and, you know, that sort of thing. In a much different way than Violet did, because we weren't as active in producing theater on the regular. But then I also, like, I had a 3-year-old that could sit through a full length. I mean, we could, you know, that it's like...
You still do.
Right. I mean, like, Iz will go in and sit through an entire show, and it does not faze her in any way, shape, or form. Where, like, some people are just kind of allow that squirmy, quite frankly, kind of shitty behavior out of their kids, and I'm just like,
I just watch that, you know, and I just watch these kids, like, not be told that is that, like, what they're gonna have to learn soon.
Right.
Because then all of a sudden they're 7 and they're just like, why do I have to sit and be quiet? You know, or something. You're like, because you needed to at 3.
Right.
But I just...
That's how life works. Like, sometimes I have to sit and be quiet for hours on end. Right. And, like, I get the kids get the wiggles. You know, they get the squirmies and they have to get that out. But I also am just like, these are my expectations because why would I change them at some magical age? You know, why would you're 5 now, so you should just know. Well, but they've never been told that before. So why would they just know all of a sudden?
Being able to drink at 20, but all of a sudden you can at 21.
Right. The next day,
one day
you're fine. Yeah.
You can just all of a sudden like not have respect for
or like the medication things where it's like, you cannot take that under 4, but as soon as you turn 4, you're fine. Like something is really going to change in your chemical makeup to make that all right. No, I mean, like, all
of
that.
I get that there's regulations and testings and things to do that, but I'm always like, what, yesterday I couldn't, today I can.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and then the other thing is that, like, I want to be able to enjoy doing things with my kids, so if I can sit down, you know, I mean, there's nothing I censor for my kids, really. I mean, like, I'm probably not going to be like, hey, kids, let's sit down and watch porn or anything, but, like, I just don't, there's nothing, I mean, that's totally inappropriate.
Now that Tumblr's done,
right? Damn. But, like, there's nothing really
that... I just wish that people would talk to their kids about mm-hmm. it. And I, my friend Sarah Crow and her daughter Ari just did Christmas, mm-hmm. The Christmas show with me. So one of the stipulations for Sarah to sort of do that show was that mm-hmm. I had to go and pick her up every mm-hmm. night. Because she was like, I will probably figure out a way to stay on my couch mm-hmm. if you don't come to do that, because it was like once a week or whatever. And so I got to have like really adult conversations mm-hmm. with Ari via Sarah mm-hmm. in a car. You know, we just talked about like, and there were things that then Ari might have been like, I don't really know what you're talking about. And then we sort of had to decide if mm-hmm. we were going to talk about that. But I just kind of felt like that opportunity to have real conversations mm-hmm. is important.
It's important, and it also like it improves their vocabulary. And I mean, I just, you know, there are, I'm never gonna lie to my kids, and so when a question is asked, then I feel like it's my job as their parent to answer it.
Yeah.
And I may have to answer it in terms that they understand.
And I may think not. Other parents maybe get upset because now they may be forced to answer the question that they didn't want to.
Right,
and so
right.
often I feel as if it's not so much about your own particular kid being knowledgeable now. It's now your kid is almost like sharing the knowledge, and there's other parents who aren't comfortable talking about it.
But
then I guess there's other parents who aren't comfortable talking about sex and birth control
in amidst adults. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't occur to me to have those kinds of, you're going to have to really do a significant amount of work if you're going to like offend or shock me to mm-hmm. begin with. Like if that's one of your goals, it's gonna, you know, at this point, I feel like finding out that a close friend is a Trump supporter might be the most shocking thing that could possibly happen in my world. But like, you're going to take
but
off
there,
your clothes.
There's less and less
care.
Of those these days.
Well, let's hope so. Yeah, but like, that's the kind of thing that shocks me. But like, oh, you're going to stand here naked and we're going to have a conversation. Don't care. You know,
don't
like,
care.
Have you seen the picture that's been floating around? That is a gorgeous photograph. BT dubs. Of Rachel McAdams in the Versace, like she's in full head-to-toe Versace.
Yet, no.
Oh my God, it's amazing. But she's pumping, and people are like, shocking photos of new. And I'm like, she's pumping breast milk for her infant child. That's shocking
yes,
to you?
It's life.
Right. I'm just like, ugh. I mean,
we've talked about that before on the show. I'm just like, it's food.
Right. Like, oh, people are naked under their clothes. I would have never thought that to be possible. Like, what are we, Barbie and Ken dolls? No, that's not how life
works. So
why
don't you stop, like, just making the nude body always have a sexual connotation?
No, I mean, I just don't. I don't have.
And honestly, watching a female pump is not the sexiest thing.
No, it's terrifying, actually.
You know, so I think about that, too. I'm just like, why are you sexualizing?
Right. Yeah, that, because that's weird.
Right.
And yeah, and not something, but it's a gorgeous photograph, but I mean it.
And also, like, if it makes you uncomfortable, don't look at it.
Don't look at it. Just keep scrolling or, you know, avert your eyes. It
right.
does not, it's, yeah, it's just not one of those things that, and so I, you know, my kids see boobs.
Yeah.
Oh my, they're going to have boobs at some point.
And then that's my always funny thing about, like, the allowance of like an entire breast, but then like you've covered the nipple, and that
and
is
that's
what,
okay.
That's
fine.
What
that's
makes
fine.
It like okay. And I'm like,
oh my God,
it's that's it.
I just think that people probably really like to work themselves up, and like
I just got a laundry list of things if you want to get upset about that is far
yeah,
larger
there's...
than breastfeeding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Or any. I mean, like, or just you know, people.
We talked about it this morning.
We did talk about it
Mind
this morning.
Your own.
Mind your own damn business.
Right.
Is it affecting you in any way that, you know, it's like the kneeling for the NFL or any of those things. Like, I remember when we went to go see Hairspray at Starlight,
mm-hmm.
I kneeled during the National Anthem, which I did not know was a portion of the Starlight because I haven't been there in 15 years. And the people next to me were so bothered. And I was just like, what is it harming you?
Right.
What does it matter to you?
You understand.
If it
you
makes,
should stand.
Right, you should stand. That's great. I think you should probably open your eyes, look around at why people might be kneeling.
Especially at the show Hairspray.
Right. Especially at that show. But
I thought it was an appropriate thing for you to do.
Yeah, but what? What? And then those same people during I Know Where I've Been are weeping, because how could you not? My God, if you caught that show, I stopped breathing for moments during mm-hmm. that particular song, and I'm just like, you know, those things are related, right?
Don't
and I'm just like, are you watching the show? No, you're not paying attention? Okay, good.
Well because
then,
it seems fake to them.
Oh.
That they're like, that's a history. That's history.
Oh.
I know.
Huh. Hmm. all right, we're going to just blow past that.
There's like people who think that we're not there anymore.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So you kneeling is just disrespectful.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just going to blow past that.
I didn't stand.
Right. Yeah, I just, I mean, and
then I love when people tell me to take off my hat. I'll love it. People in that damn church, if you are listening, told me to take off my hat in church.
Mm.
Did we have this chat?
No.
And I was like, I need someone to prove to me why I'm supposed to take off my hat in church. And everyone just kept saying, oh, it's respectful because you're supposed to do this. You're supposed to salute. And I was
supposed
like,
to.
And I was like, yeah, I need you to define. So the only person, ironically, was my heathen friend Sarah, who was like, well, here's why it really existed. And it is because, you know, you wore a chapeau because, like, it was dirty outside. Mm-hmm. And, like, you took that off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you didn't, like, you were protecting yourself.
Dirt, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you took those things off. It's really, it's the same idea of taking off your shoes before you
go to
our
history.
House.
Mm.
Yes, history.
Ah.
But then I, of course, counterbalance and say, but the females weren't allowed to take off their bonnets.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So why were the females allowed to wear their hats? And then all of a sudden, like, we were having conversations with these people about why doesn't a female have to take it off?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and then it just became like this,
mm-hmm.
you know, gender conversation. Mm-hmm. And so every single night of rehearsal, I made sure to wear a hat.
Wear a hat, yeah.
And then people were like, are you doing that just out of spite? And I was like, no, I was going to wear a hat anyway.
But this does provide a little cherry on top.
I am not, anyway, so I think that that's interesting. And so if you're listening out there and you want to, like, tell me,
right.
besides the fact that that's just the way that it's always been,
mm-hmm.
I know that. I want you to tell me why it is actually disrespectful or I'm
mm-hmm.
actually supposed to take off.
Right.
My
what exactly is disrespectful
inside.
About not having... Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. and if you are just like, oh, because I can't see your face or something, I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's like a weird generational thing, too. It's like the...
But even the generational thing, whenever I talk to my parents about it, I just said, well, that's because their parents told them to. Like, where is it?
Right. Right. And that's, you know, it's like, I think we've had this conversation on the podcast before about, like, that I don't make my kids hug people or any
mm-hmm.
of that kind of stuff, and that that's like a very, like, people of a certain generation are so very offended by that. And I'm like, well, but it's their body. And so if they don't want to hug you, there's a reason that they don't want to hug you, or there's not, and they just want to be an asshole, and that's fine too.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, again, my kids are just tiny
well,
people.
What's the difference between your kid having to hug someone today and your kid mm-hmm. being raped later? And I know that's a
right.
huge jump, but isn't it still
no,
about
it's not.
Consent?
It's about consent. It's all
yeah.
about consent. And me teaching them that they're the ones in control of their body and their things. And they, you know, kids own so little, like, it's kind of like, I remember, when I was a kid, my dog was very protective of her bone.
Mm-hmm.
And we would get her like a giant 3-foot huge bone for Christmas and she would just drag it around the house for weeks and you couldn't go anywhere near it. She would growl. And me just being like, I don't understand why the dog's like that. And my mom's like, well, she doesn't own anything in her whole life. This
yeah.
is hers.
This is her bones.
To back up off of it. Like, and kids are the same way. Like, my kids don't own anything. I own it all.
Right.
But the few things that are theirs, no, I'm not going to make you share. I mean, you would never walk into an office environment like you do with kids at a park and say, we'll share your ball. You would never walk into, like, an adult environment and be like, you should really share your sandwich with Johnny. Well, no, I'm a grown up. Like, and
I'm gonna eat my sandwich.
Right. No, you don't have to share.
And
that
it allows
ball.
Me to say, hey, do you want to play with my ball?
All right. If
like,
you want to
why
do,
do
that,
you, yeah. Why do you take away? This
mm-hmm.
is a conversation I have all the time. Why do you take away the ability for people to be kind? If you
mm-hmm.
tell people that they have to do something, then there is
mm-hmm.
obligation. You want to be given something based on obligation.
Mm-hmm.
Blah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
Gross.
Yeah, it is gross. Well, and it just doesn't. It doesn't teach this. I don't think it teaches the things that people think that it teaches.
Right.
Now, I was not, sorry, Mom, thank you also for this, but I was not really taught to share to share at all. But I don't think that that's as selfish as people think it is. I don't, you know what I mean?
I didn't have anyone to share with.
Right?
So I...
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I did, but it wasn't, I mean, Blair and I are just the perfect age apart that we didn't have to share, like, and we were the opposite gender. So I didn't want to play with his race cars or his baseball
right.
cards or anything.
And
it wasn't
versa.
A thing. And he didn't want to play with my, you know, whatever. That wasn't a thing. So we didn't have that kind of controversy. You know, we didn't fight like that. And we weren't close enough in age that anything was really... The things that an 8-year-old are playing with is not the same thing that a 4-year-old's playing with. Correct. Anyway, you know? So it was always easy. We didn't have the sibling rivalry that I feel like some people who are closer in age
and
have.
I don't think you still share.
No, I don't. No.
If you've ever given Courtney chocolate, she's no. like, well, you can buy your own chocolate.
Here's the thing. Here's where I'm giving. I will share the wealth and buy you your own chocolate. But don't ask me for mine. That's my chocolate. You may have your own, and I will happily get it for you. Yeah. But
no. And you're allowed to share with me, but you are not.
Yeah, but don't expect me to share it back, especially not food. Like, chocolate, cheese, clothes, shoes. Get your own.
But you're so kind. You share a lot more than you think. I just don't think you want the obligation.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it's very...
Not chocolate, though.
Not like, chocolate. No, that's, like, that's where the line is
drawn. I literally have been like, can I try that? And you're like...
No.
No.
So sorry.
But Courtney, you have 400 pieces.
Don't
right,
care.
But if I give you one, I only have 399.
Right. And what if I need that one last piece of chocolate?
What if I'm sitting at my
that
like, 399?
That is very specifically, actually, where my mom was very... Like, she's still... in her own home without any children, and it will hide chocolate around the house that, like, she thinks. And I'm like, you people are diabetic in this house. Yeah. You do not need this much candy.
Your parents moved.
They did. They moved to, I think it's called Fountain View or Fountain Head on the plaza. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really nice, and I think they're starting to settle in, and everything's good, and my mom's got her witch's balls hung up now. She
That's
sent
cool.
me a picture yesterday, so I think they're, like, unpacking.
You need to go over there and see the new space.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's really nice. I think they're going to really enjoy it there.
And they got to move without really any bad weather, which is really nice.
It was very nice the whole time. I mean, there was a couple days where it was kind of cold. It hasn't been that cold since the weekend, so it was really nice over the weekend, but I think that Friday of the move was pretty chilly. But for the most part, I think they're going to be really happy. And as my dad said, we're moving from here to the funeral home, so
yeah.
It's not...
Next stop.
That's right, exactly. Like, I'm not doing this again, and right. I do not blame him. I have been very spoiled by... I haven't had to move for a really long time personally,
mm-hmm.
because somehow... The two times that Alex and I moved, I was pregnant with Riley the first time. And so I was just like, oh, I can't lift anything. I'm so sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second time
was
like, yeah, Isabel was like 2 months old. So I was just like, oh, I got to hold the baby. You
right.
guys move all that. And then I moved with Alicia and Chad and was like, this is terrible. And then I did it again this month. Both had movers. It's really the like, I can deal with the move part. But I just really liked the fact that I could, sorry, Mom, just walk away and be like, all that unpacking is your problem, though.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to pack or unpack. You want me to lift all the heavy things? I am good to go. I'm your man. But I don't want to unwrap anything or wrap it to begin with. I don't want to
I'll pack it. I just don't want to unpack it.
Oh, God. I'm terrible. Terrible about it. I don't want to unpack my
it's
clothes
coming.
When I get
Matt
on vacation
and I have
either.
To, like, we are looking for a place to move. This is going to be a short episode today, so
yes.
I wanted to sort of... What a strange turn.
It's
but I wanted, Courtney, for you to sort of discuss something that took place on Monday with Stephen Eubank had his birthday
mm-hmm,
bash here.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that sort of came out of that birthday bash is money was raised for a scholarship fund.
Correct.
So I wanted you to sort of tell us a little bit about that
mm-hmm,
scholarship
mm-hmm.
fund and maybe sort of how it came together.
Mm-hmm. So a few weeks ago at Thanksgiving, that might be why... Now it just occurred to me that whole thing was just such a blur. The theater community lost an amazing member of our tribe, Chris Holbrook. And so we have decided to set up a scholarship fund in his honor to make sure that he was a self-taught performer and pianist, an amazing human being, but also really integral part of the Kansas City
mm-hmm.
theater community. And to make sure that the next generation is able to safely create within our walls. The Arts Asylum Academy will have the scholarship fund to make sure that kids can always take music and or theater performance classes in his name
yeah.
so that we can continue his legacy. And
that's kind of an infinity fund, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, we'll be taking donations forever, just because, and as we sort of get money, which is sort of the hope, is that maybe we can sort of split that up into different sort of ways once we get to a certain amount. But right now, it's really sort of helping underwrite some of those initial classes
that can take place. And the hope is that we will have, you know, various theater professionals and musical professionals from around the city that you'll be able to take both visual and performing arts classes. Kind of coming 2019. We haven't, you know, fleshed out anything officially, but that's my new position here. We all kind of change over on January 1st into our new roles, and mine is as education director. And so it was Stephen Eubanks' birthday party, which typically we've held for, I think this was the third or fourth time.
In some capacity, we have been involved in his birthday for as long as I can remember.
Yeah, well, I actually, strangely enough, the way it started was a party at my house. I had a party at my house for Steven's 25th, so 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I think it was his 25th, 26th.
Because I feel like I just missed it by like 1 year.
Yeah, yeah. It must have, I think 25th birthday was at my house, was at the G House. And he, the next year, because we kind of ended up being, it ended up sort of turning into a house party version of what he has now, which is like a full floor show and all of that stuff. You know, we as a community are performers. I don't know if you could stop us from singing and dancing and doing all the wacky things that we do, no matter what. It's, you know, we all sort of do that naturally anyhow. So it turned into that in the house, and the next year we held it at Off Center. And it was there for a couple years, and then
we've had it, I think, the last
I think this is our fourth time. Yeah. I think third or fourth time.
And there's always an ebb and flow, you know, with that party every year, because I my husband's birthday is in January, you know, as well as so one of our other good friends, Nick Utoff's. And I also have another friend, Andrew, who just had his birthday yesterday. And so I also have like this small group of pretty close friends of mine, Stephen included in all of that, whose birthdays always sort of fall around the holidays. And there is, as much as we all want to be like, no, it's two separate things, it really all sort of turns into one big holiday. Because from Thanksgiving until really a couple of days into January, you're sort of just all one-minded. My friend Craig had a birthday, and I literally, like, he had a performance of 6x10 here. His wife and daughter had a performance at Church of the Res, you know, and, like, he didn't get a birthday. And Craig has never had a birthday, because 6x10 falls
every year
over his over his birthday. And so I was trying this year to be more conscious of my friends' birthdays that fall in this time period, and even being conscious of it.
You
can't acknowledge it. It just disappears. So, Stephen Eubanks sort of every year, you know, if there's a lot of people who are usually involved in holiday shows, but then there's also this large group of people who aren't creating during that time, because we're sort of wrapping up everyone's seasons and going into holiday break. So really, if you're not in, like, what? Christmas Carol.
Right.
You're kind
something
of
at the Coterie,
You sort of, like, fade off, and I think that's whenever, back in the day, that's why sort of that floor show at Off Center sort of began, is, you know, some people I think thought it was an audition, you know, because there was a lot of theater professionals in the room, and that was sort of a way for you to shine. And I think that at Stephen Eubank, every year, it is important for him to sort of gather his group of friends around and play with them. And then specifically this year with Chris Holbrook, we also needed to make sure that the community had a place to just kind of come and play a little bit. And that I was just getting back from Florida, but the feedback from the people who were there that night were just really kind of like, it was just kind of nice to have a non-pressure sort of party where everything else sort of came with a weight of some sort. You know?
And I think that was, you know, we went back and forth after Chris passed. You know, we didn't know whether we were going to try and pull this off because it felt irreverent somehow. And, you know, and one of Chris's good friends was like, no, we need the reason to get together and just sort of love on each other. For, you know, joyous reasons as opposed to sad ones. It was, you know, it's been a really rough little bit of time, few weeks on everyone. And
the holidays
kind of,
are just hard.
Yeah, they're hard
anyway
to begin with. They're hard for me. I had a really rough couple years back. We lost somebody at Christmas, and I lost some family members at Christmas. And it was just, it, you know, it's just been kind of this time of year can be wonderfully joyous and full of grief at the same time for
and
a lot of people.
And seasonal depression is kicking in hard right now.
And so just kind of coming to that, you know, realization that we needed that reason to kind of get together and celebrate as opposed to, you know, not. The theater community is really, really good at supporting each other when times are rough, and then we can get very wrapped up in what we are doing when times are happy.
I already feel like the separation has already started to happen, you know, from like that time that we were a huge conglomerate group at Chris's thing, and I've already now started to see people, because you naturally have to sort of move back into your reality, and but I've watched some people who were already sort of like, who had sort of reconnected, sort of be like, well, maybe that there's a reason why we
disconnected to begin with.
So it's, and not to like end on sort of like that negative note, it's just like acknowledging that in that time that you, when this time, if you go back into your individual circles, to maybe be a little more kinder about not closing off your circle. You know, and I've just sort of tried to pay attention to that, to be like, well, yeah, I've gone back into my normalcy in some ways, but to be more open to
that love,
to that idea that you can come play with me anytime
absolutely.
You want.
Absolutely. And we also, there will be another, which we can update about as it comes, but on the 27th of January, they'll also be doing a benefit concert. Justin Van Pelt is coming back in town, and Katie Gilchrist will be doing a show at the Student Union, which I think is still called the Student Union.
I don't know.
Ron and John's old house. For Chris as well. So that'll be an amazing party. Maybe we can get Justin in here when he gets in town.
I would love to have Justin come on here and talk.
And we can maybe spill some beans on stuff coming, moving forward with Superstar, because once we get on that side of the new year, we're running
it's
at
all
that.
There.
Yep, we're running at that like a train.
Yeah, 2019 is going to be, I think it's going to be exciting. 2018 I sort of felt was like dream bigger, and I think 2019 is going to sort of come with like good changes.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Like we've sort of laid a decent foundation, I think, in you and I's life to sort of have a strong place to sort of grow from and sort of build at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've laid some good foundational stones, and
I mean, where we were a year ago
putting
is
house
completely
on it.
Different than where we are now.
It's true. Yeah. And I think that that's on that note where we will be for the next few weeks, just with the holidays and the way that they're falling. There'll be this kind of shortened episode leading into the holidays.
We'll do one next week as well, sort of as a kind of post from
recap
this past
of the holidays.
Week.
Yeah.
And then the next time that we talk after that will be in 2019.
It's true, yeah.
Which is crazy.
It is crazy. I can't believe we've done this for a super long time. Thank you for everybody who is listening. We're creeping up on almost a year at this point, which is just nuts. I mean, we're definitely way past the halfway point. And I think once we hit into 19, we're at like...
And we'll have a brand new opening in 2019.
It's true. We'll see if
we'll ever
record it. Who knows?
We recorded it once and... Well, you know how that goes sometimes. Episodes just disappear and...
Memory cards fail. Who knows? Who knows the reasons and the things that could happen. But I think we'll be looking forward to an episode that we put on Facebook Live.
Yes, our one-year anniversary will be a live episode.
Yeah, some recaps and some rapid-fire questions for people coming in.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do it at an event or something. Moving into all kinds of fun and exciting things this new year.
It's never dull.
Never.
So that was sort of this week's Couch Chats. Thank you all for listening. It's nice to be back on the couch myself.
Yeah.
I did miss it. That was kind of crazy to know that something that I do every week, I didn't do.
Yeah.
And what that actually kind of felt like.
Yeah.
I felt like I hadn't talk to you all, and that's really strange because I don't see any of you.
But we know you're there.
But we know you're there, all 5 and 10 of you. So tune in next week and have a Merry Christmas, everyone.
Bye-bye.
And that was this week's episode of Couch Chats. Thanks so much for listening. Tune in next week to see who we've got on the couch. New episodes are available in the KC area on KOJH 104.7 Thursdays at 2 p.m. or on iTunes. Bye!